All right, let's dive into this Boston condo market deep dive. It looks like we've got a pretty interesting blog post to cover. Covers a lot of ground.
It does, it does.
Boston condo sales, rentals, and
Even throws in some national trends, which is
yeah. And that's always helpful, I think, to kind of see
it's
how.
the bigger picture perspective.
Yeah, exactly. So
Okay.
you know what's happening across the country and how that might, play out locally. So let's jump into that national scene first. This blog post points to this surprising surge in new single-family home sales in September. Really caught Wall Street off guard, huh?
Yeah, they were anticipating more of a slowdown.
Yeah.
Everyone thought the market was cooling down, but sales actually jumped more than 4% just from August.
Wow, that's a big jump.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it hit a rate of 738,000 sales.
Okay.
Now that's a seasonally adjusted annual rate.
Okay, so explain what that means to our listeners.
Sure. So that's basically saying if that pace continued for a whole year, taking into account the normal seasonal ups and downs,
Right.
we'd be looking at 738,000 homes sold. And it's not just a one-month thing either. We're seeing a 6.3% increase compared to last September.
So last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it really makes you wonder what's driving this growth,
Yeah.
especially when, like I said, everyone was expecting the opposite.
Yeah, it really does. Now, the blog post also mentioned that the median price of new homes went up in September to $426,300. Do you think that's part of it?
I mean, it could be a sign of strong demand
Yeah.
and a confident market,
Yeah.
but it also raises some concerns about affordability, especially for first time buyers.
Yeah.
And it's important to remember this is a national average we're talking about.
Right, right.
Prices here in Boston are going to look a lot different.
Good point. Now, one more thing that really kind of made me pause. The blog post mentions the supply of new homes is actually shrinking, down to 7.6 months worth. What does that tell us?
Well, that's actually a key indicator. A 7.6-month supply basically means that at the current pace of sales, it would take 7.6 months to sell all the available new homes on the market.
I see.
So that low inventory, it's a signal that we're in a seller's market.
Oh, okay.
Basically, there are more buyers out there than there are homes for sale.
Oh, I see.
So that gives sellers a lot of leverage, can lead to bidding wars, and drive prices up even higher.
So things are definitely heating up nationally, but let's zoom in on what our listeners are really interested in, right? The Boston condo market.
Okay.
This blog post focuses specifically on two very different neighborhoods, the Seaport and Beacon Hill.
Yeah, and that's where things get really interesting. I mean,
Yeah.
these are two neighborhoods with such distinct personalities, and that really comes through in their condo markets. I mean, the Seaport, for example, is known for its modern architecture, the waterfront location.
Right.
It tends to attract, a different type of buyer than historic Beacon Hill, with its charming brick townhouses and cobblestone streets.
Yeah, and you can totally see that just in the listings. I mean, we're talking million-dollar condos in the Seaport.
Yeah.
Some even going for over 10 million.
Oh, yeah.
But then in Beacon Hill, you see this surprisingly affordable one bedroom listed for under $500,000. I mean, that's unheard of practically these days in Boston. Makes you wonder if certain neighborhoods offer, more bang for your buck.
That Beacon Hill listing is really a gem.
Yeah.
It really goes to show you that even in a pricey market like Boston, there are pockets of affordability. You just have to know where to look.
Right.
I mean, maybe historic neighborhoods like Beacon Hill offer more value for buyers on a tighter budget.
It's on Cambridge Street, right. What else can you tell me about it?
Let me just pull up the listing here. Yeah, 286 Cambridge Street, classic Beacon Hill condo, one bedroom, one bath, exposed brick, high ceilings, and right in the heart of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
It is on the smaller side, only 435 square feet,
Okay.
which explains the lower price, but still a fantastic find.
Yeah, that's amazing. And then on the other side of the spectrum, you have that luxurious penthouse in the Seaport, listed for $10,950,000
Yeah.
at 25 Beacon Street, boasts three bedrooms, three and a half baths, and a whopping 3,578 square feet. I mean, talk about a luxury lifestyle.
Talk about a jump in price too. I mean, the difference between those two listings is truly remarkable. It just highlights
Yeah.
those key factors that drive condo prices in Boston:
Yeah.
location, size, amenities, and something we call the desirability factor.
The desirability factor. What does that mean?
It's that combination of intangible elements, that make a neighborhood or a specific building more appealing to buyers. Things like the neighborhood's reputation, its architectural style, the sense of community, even its cool factor.
Yeah.
All those things can really influence pricing.
So it's not just about like the square footage and the number of bathrooms. It's about the feeling a place evokes.
Exactly. It's about the lifestyle that a particular condo and its surroundings offer.
Yeah.
Now, we talked a bit about the types of buyers drawn to the Seaport, but I'm curious what you think attracts people to Beacon Hill. What are your thoughts?
Well, I imagine it's, you know, the history, the charm, those beautiful brick sidewalks and gas lamps, you know,
yeah,
that feeling of being in a truly historic neighborhood.
Yeah, you're spot on. Beacon Hill tends to attract families who really value the excellent schools in that area, young professionals who appreciate the neighborhood's history, the character,
right,
and empty nesters looking to, you know, downsize but still stay in the city. It's a completely different vibe from the Seaport, which is much more about, you know, modern luxury and that bustling waterfront lifestyle.
It's like two different sides of Boston,
yeah,
each with their own, you know, unique appeal. But before we get too caught up in these individual neighborhoods, I want to zoom back out. How does all of this connect to the bigger picture of the Boston real estate market? What can we infer about its overall health based on these listings?
That's a great question, and one that we'll definitely explore further when we come back. We'll delve deeper into those listings, you know, analyze some market trends. We'll even touch on those economic forces at play. So stay tuned.
Welcome back. You know, looking at these listings, it's just amazing how diverse Boston's housing stock really is.
Oh, it is, yeah. I mean, you've got everything from those classic brownstones to sleek modern high-rises and even condos in these converted industrial buildings.
Oh, speaking of, there's this listing in the blog post for a condo in a converted chocolate factory.
Yeah.
Can you imagine living in a place with that kind of history?
That's amazing. And it really speaks to Boston's unique blend of old and new.
Right.
You know, what neighborhood is that one in?
Let's see. It's in the Brick South neighborhood.
Oh, yeah.
It used to be like this industrial area, but now it's been transformed into this vibrant residential community.
Right. And that particular building has retained a lot of its original character. I mean, you've got those exposed brick walls, massive timber beams. It's a real testament to Boston's architectural heritage.
It's incredible how developers are finding these creative ways to repurpose old spaces. It's like they're breathing new life into the city.
I agree, yeah.
Then on the flip side, you've got these ultra-modern condos in the Seaport with all the latest tech and amenities.
Oh, yeah.
Some even have smart home features that, like, you can control from your phone.
It's true. Yeah, the Seaport is definitely at the forefront of luxury living. And those buildings, they're designed to cater to a very specific clientele. You know, those tech-savvy, discerning buyers who just expect the very best.
Right.
And it makes you wonder, you know, who are all these potential buyers? What are their motivations for choosing Boston? And what kind of lifestyle are they looking for?
Well, you mentioned professionals being drawn to the Seaport, but who else is buying in Boston?
Well, you have a significant number of investors who are purchasing condos as rental properties.
Oh, okay.
They're attracted to Boston's strong rental market, driven by the city's large student population and thriving economy.
That makes sense. With all these world-class universities in Boston, I imagine there's always a demand for student housing.
Always, yeah.
But it's not just students renting, is it?
No, not at all. Many young professionals choose to rent in Boston as well.
Mm.
You know, either because they're not ready to buy yet or because they prefer the flexibility that renting offers.
So the rental market is kind of a major factor in shaping the Boston condo landscape.
Definitely, yeah.
It's something that potential buyers should really consider.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially if they're thinking about buying a condo as an investment.
For sure.
It's important to know the rental trends in that specific neighborhood that you're interested in. And speaking of investments, what actually determines condo prices? It's always seemed a bit mysterious to me.
Right.
Like, how do they come up with those numbers?
Yeah, it's definitely more complex than just looking at the number of bedrooms and bathrooms.
Right.
You know, location, as we've discussed, is paramount.
Right.
Neighborhoods with high walkability scores, good access to public transportation, and those desirable amenities,
mm-hmm,
those tend to command higher prices. But even within a given neighborhood, you have factors like square footage, the number of bedrooms and bathrooms, the overall condition of the unit, and even things like views, natural light, outdoor space.
Yeah.
All of those come into play.
So it's not just about the condo itself, but the the lifestyle it offers and the surrounding neighborhood, it seems like Boston offers a lot of variety in that sense.
Exactly. It's about the whole package. And of course, you know, we can't forget about market conditions. In a strong seller's market, like the one we're seeing nationally, prices tend to rise as demand outstrips supply.
Right.
And that brings us to an important question. What are some of the challenges facing the Boston condo market? We touched on interest rates and inflation, but are there other factors that could impact its future?
Yeah, what else should potential buyers be aware of?
Well, one issue that's often discussed is affordability.
Hmm.
Boston is a notoriously expensive city, and the cost of housing is a major concern for many residents. As prices continue to rise, it could price out, you know, potential buyers, particularly those with moderate incomes.
So the very thing that makes the market hot, that high demand, could eventually lead to a cool down if people can no longer afford to buy.
It's definitely a possibility, and it's a challenge that policymakers and developers are really grappling with.
Yeah.
You know, how do you create more affordable housing options without sacrificing quality or desirability?
Yeah.
It's a tough question, and one that's crucial to the future of the city.
It seems like a complex situation with a lot of moving parts.
It is.
I feel like this deep dive has really given me a much better understanding of the forces at play in the Boston condo market.
Good. Yeah. And that understanding is key to making informed decisions.
Right.
Whether you're looking to buy your dream home or simply want to stay informed about market trends, knowledge is power.
So true. Now, before we wrap up this deep dive, I'd love to hear your predictions for the future. What do you see on the horizon for the Boston condo market? So what do you think? What's your prediction for the future of the Boston condo market?
Well, you know, predicting real estate trends is it's a little bit like trying to predict the weather, you know, a lot of variables. But if I had to, you know, gaze into my crystal ball here, I think we're likely to see continued strong demand for those luxury condos in areas like the Seaport.
Okay.
I mean, that lifestyle, those waterfront views, the modern amenities, you know, that bustling energy, it really appeals to a certain segment of buyers. And I don't see that changing anytime soon.
So the Seaport's hot streak continues. What about other parts of the city?
I think we'll see kind of a renewed focus on affordability in those other neighborhoods.
Okay.
You know? Developers and policymakers are becoming much more aware of the need to create housing options that are accessible to a wider range of incomes.
That would be great news for a lot of folks who are currently priced out of the market. What do you think that might look like?
Well, we might see more mixed income developments,
uh-huh.
You know, some innovative financing models and a greater emphasis on smaller, more efficient units.
Okay.
You know, remember that condo we talked about in the converted chocolate factory?
Yeah.
I think those adaptive reuse projects like that, those can be a key part of the solution as well. They offer these really unique living spaces while also keeping costs down.
It seems like the future of the Boston condo market really hinges on finding that balance.
Yeah.
You know, between luxury and affordability, meeting the needs of this really diverse range of buyers.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It's about creating a market that's dynamic and inclusive, but of course you always have those external factors that can, you know, that can throw a wrench in the works.
Right.
Interest rates, inflation, the overall economy,
uh-huh.
All of that.
So it's a pretty fascinating time to be watching this market unfold.
It is, yeah.
Is there anything else you think our listeners should keep in mind as they're kind of exploring the possibility of buying a condo in Boston?
You know, I think the key takeaway here is just do your research, you know, understand your needs, your budget, and the specific dynamics of the neighborhoods you're interested in. Don't be afraid to, you know, to ask questions.
Right.
And really delve into the details. Remember, buying a condo is a significant investment, both financially and emotionally.
It is. It is. This deep dive has been so insightful. We've gone from, you know, national trends to hyperlocal listings. We even talked about those bigger issues of affordability and market forces. I feel like I have a much clearer understanding of the Boston condo market now.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
And hopefully you feel empowered to make, you know, to make informed decisions.
Absolutely.
Whether you're actively searching for a condo right now or just kind of keeping an eye on the market.
Exactly. So to our listener, if you're thinking about taking the plunge into the Boston condo market, I really encourage you to keep exploring, you know. Dig deeper into that blog post, check out the links we've provided, and don't be afraid to reach out to real estate professionals with any questions you might have. The more informed you are, the better equipped you'll be to navigate this exciting and ever-changing market. And who knows, maybe you'll find your dream condo in the process. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into the Boston condo market.
Thank you.